Matthew chapter 1. That's behind me, so I think I'll just... Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins. So all this was done, and I love these lines in the Bible because you see them a lot in the New Testament. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. That appears so many times in the Bible to prove to us these things were said, but here's the proof. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about the Emmanuel factor, what I'd like to call the Emmanuel factor. And that verse, at the end of that verse, it says it perfectly, where it says, his name will be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. And we used to sing a song quite a few years ago, Emmanuel. You'd all remember it. And it tagged on a little bit more at the end, and it would say, God with us revealed in us. And to me, the big thing about the Emmanuel factor is the presence, not only the presence of Jesus on this earth, but the presence of heaven itself invading earth through us. And how would it change our lives, really? How would it change our lives and the lives of those around us if we truly believe that Emmanuel was with us today? And not only with us, but in us. Because as you know, when we accept Christ, it's Christ in us. And so how would things change in this world if we walked in that revelation and we truly believed that Emmanuel was with us, in us, being revealed through us? And you know, it's fine and dandy to, no disrespect, it's great to celebrate the birth of Jesus and who he is and the sacrifice he paid for us, but there was more to it than that. The sacrifice included us having the power of God and Jesus Christ himself revealed through us. Christ in us. And Bill Johnson, in his book, Heaven Invading Earth, has this quote. He says, for most churches, very little of what we do is dependent on the Holy Spirit. If he were not to show up, most churches would never miss him. So let's just think about it. Billy Graham is credited with saying, 95% of today's church activities would continue if the Holy Spirit were removed from us. And this is Billy Graham. That's a big percentage. 95% of today's church activities would continue if the Holy Spirit were removed from us. In the early church, however, 95% of all her activities would have stopped if the Holy Spirit were removed. So what is the difference between the early church and between the church of Jesus today? The Emmanuel factor. The God with us factor. The awareness of his presence in us and the ability he has to work through us if we are a willing vessel and if we are aware of that presence. You know, many people today, and Christians in particular, who have the Christ in them, you know, live their lives totally oblivious to his presence. You know, I don't think anyone's excluded, you know, because we get so many distractions. There's so much going on in our lives with everything, you know, with work, family, you name it. You know, commitments, all sorts. There's so much going on in our lives that often from day to day, we live totally oblivious of that presence who lives in us and who wants to operate through us and in our own lives and in our own families, but as well as touching those around us as well. And you know, the verse said, his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, you know, a name was more than just a name. Because in the Old Testament, it signified everything about that person. Their personality, their character, just all, you know, who they were. And all those things, their personality, their character, how they think, all that, would then be seen in behavior that actually went with that name. All right, sounds a little bit unfair if you had a lousy name, all right, but it truly, like you take Jacob and Esau, okay, Jacob's name was deceiver, supplanter or deceiver, okay, so through his life we see he deceived a lot. He was just, you know, always trying to be crafty, always cutting people out or whatever, until God changed his name. God changed his name to Israel, which means I have fought with God and I have won, basically. And now God would be upon his life in a different way. And we see, you know, with Israel, it became God's special nation and people. And so all of that from a name, you know. So when we look at the name of God, even when we just look at Emmanuel, his presence, when we see anything of the names of God, we have to realize it is who he is and how he acts. And you know, there are hundreds of names of God in the Bible. And I'm sure many of you are aware of them. You know, but if we just think of a few of them, you know, like Jehovah Tsikinu, God my righteousness. So we know Emmanuel in us, that Emmanuel factor means his righteousness is in us. That's a big deal. All right, then we have Jesus, you know, Jehovah Nissi, our banner. We know that Emmanuel in us is that banner over us, that we know we are in his protection. You know, Jehovah Shammah, God is with me, the same as, he's ever present, the same as Emmanuel, God with us. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. So if we really believe that the name is significant of who a person is, then we have to believe that when we think Jehovah Rapha, then he is our healer. That's who he is. He heals. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. All these names signify who God really is. But the interesting thing to me is we still have to go back to Emmanuel, God with us, God in us. So all those things, hear me now, all those things, righteousness, peace, provision, healing, all those things and a ton of others that I didn't mention, all those things are where? In us. In us, meant to be revealed through us. The Emmanuel factor. So I want to just flip through a few scriptures here because, you know, our job on earth, if you don't know what your job is on earth or what your purpose is to be here, when you're born again, your job is to bring heaven to earth and for people to see Emmanuel through you, for that to be released to those around you. So, you know, Zoe, we're going to just flip through a whole lot of those scriptures that are all together, you know, that I've got quite a few in light. We're going to flip through them. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time, so I'm not going to just keep going next one. You just listen, and when you see I'm here, you just go for it, okay? So the first one is, this is all who Emmanuel is, and what the purpose was and what we should be seeing through us, all right, if we're thinking about the Emmanuel factor. All right, so first of all is Luke 2, verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." So Emmanuel came to bring good news. The Jesus in you is here to bring good news to those around you. Luke 4:18, what is the good news? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor," and here it is. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Did you ever see yourself as being people who are here to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to release those who are oppressed? The Emmanuel factor, God in you. All right, Emmanuel came, Acts 10:38, to destroy the works of the devil. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by who? By God? Oppressed by the devil, for God, what? Was with him. God with us, Emmanuel. What does that say to us? If God was with him and he destroyed the works of the devil, God is with us, and we should be, Jesus Christ through us, can be destroying the works of the devil. In 1 John, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." You know, all the stuff that's happening in the world today, it's not God's fault. You know, he came here to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what we're here to bring, his presence to the earth. Luke 5:17. "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal." So the Emmanuel factor, the power of the Lord is present. When you are aware of the presence in you, that power is present to heal, which is the next thing. No, that's not the next thing. Sorry, the heavens open. Matthew 3. "When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him." You ever feel like the heavens aren't open? Like they're shut up? "He said that he came out of the water, he was baptized, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.'" When you really got a handle on your sonship, the heavens will be open for you. We are his beloved sons and daughters. Just as he said to his son Jesus, we are his beloved sons and daughters when we come into the kingdom. And the heavens are open to us because of the Emmanuel factor. Matthew 4:14. "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." We'll just stop right there for just a moment, Zoe. So, you know, he was moved with compassion and healed their sick. So how many times, you know, when was it? And this isn't like a condemnation statement, but when was the last time you were really moved with compassion over somebody enough to pray for them, lay hands on them, and see them get healed? You know, I think you said it once in a message or something, or read it, I can't remember, but the reason we don't see these things is because we just don't step out and do it. Didn't you say that? Yeah. You just don't step out and do it. You know, we're afraid. We're afraid because we think things won't happen or won't, you know, God doesn't listen to me, or whatever. But the Emmanuel factor is in you. And if we just step out, you know, a couple of weeks back when Trish came and she came up forward and we gave her a prayer cloth. We anointed it with oil. You know, I've never seen anybody get healed of anything with their heart that I've prayed for. And I thought, well, you know, God's here. And so, you know, you just take the step and do it. And what happens? You know, the whole prayer team was on it. I kept sending the messages as they were coming. The whole prayer team was on it. And what do we see? The presence and the power of God revealed through us. A notable miracle. Notable. The Emmanuel factor. So just in closing, if we could look at John 14:12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, now we've got to really believe this. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. You know, we can't just brush off these things and think, oh, yeah, well, yeah, but, you know, maybe it means this or it means that. It means exactly what it says. The works I do and greater works. Why? Because he went to his Father and sent his Holy Spirit to live in us, to be the Emmanuel factor to all those around us and to our own families as well. You know, this world today, I'm telling you, needs that presence of Emmanuel more than ever before. More than ever before. I saw a cancer patient again this week that I've been seeing every fortnight on a regular basis. And he had been in, I had missed him for a few weeks because he'd been in C7. He'd gotten very sick from the treatment. And so they had to change his treatment. And I walked in there, and him and his wife were there, and I sat down, and I hardly said anything. I didn't say anything. I just said, hi, so-and-so, I won't say his name. You know, how you doing? And his wife told me what had happened, that he'd been in, you know. And he just looked at me. I've had, like, maybe two or three visits with this man. Nothing profound, okay? He grabbed my hand, and he said, I'm better now because you're here. I'm telling you, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. In fact, it was the last Tuesday I was there. I was exhausted. I wasn't going to go that day, but I went. It was this week. I went because I had to bring the goodies to Cancer Care. That was the only reason I went this week. I mean, they always love the goodies because I bring them something every year. And anyway... You know, there was nothing in the tank on Tuesday. And for him to just grab my hand and say, I'm fine now because you're here. And I just looked at him and I said, well, you know, I said, thank you. I said, but you know who's really here. It's the presence of God that's really here. And, you know, and I believe that, you know, you sense that. And he said, yeah, you're probably right. You know, so I just left there feeling, well, thank you, Jesus, when, you know, I got nothing. You know, Emmanuel is still with me, in me, and revealed through me. Revealed through me. It was quite amazing. And we just can look at Colossians 1:25-27. It comes right down to, like I said before, to really believing this. Really believing and being aware of his presence. Paul says, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery, and it was a mystery, that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles or among the world the glorious riches of the mystery, which is, everybody say it, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now we're going to say it a different way. Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Everybody say it. Christ in me, the hope of glory. If you realize who lives in you daily, 24/7. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Well, what's glory? God's glory is basically seeing God manifested in a situation. It's, you know, God just sits on it. His glory is manifested and you can visibly see it. Not necessarily the Shekinah glory or cloud or whatever, but you can see it in a healing. You can see it in someone just sense God's presence. Christ in me, the hope of glory. You know, can we be that this season? Like the season, we get so caught up in it, and you know, it just becomes, you know, even for me this year, I was saying, I think to Sue, whatever, like, it was so hard for me to get ready for Christmas this year because, like, it has been one thing after another for Pastor Chuck and I, either with the church or whatever. There's been one thing after another, probably since September, well, I think since our September holidays, since Catherine passed away. You know, it's been very full on 3-4 months, and I got to the end and I just thought, you know, I just feel like Christmas has just been a, you know, and the preparation for it. And usually, you know, I try and take, you know, we've taken steps in our family where we don't go all out for Christmas. We draw names from our hat. And so we've tried to low-key it so that it wouldn't be like that. But boy, it was like that for me this year. And, you know, to stop and think, I had to tell myself, you know, remember the Emmanuel factor. Remember, God is with you. Remember, he's not only with you, he is in you, working through you. Remember that where you go. If you're at a shopping center waiting in a queue that's 100 people long, you know, I had to remember that. You know, Sarah was just telling me this morning how long the Santa photo line was, you know, yesterday apparently. And, you know, just all that stuff, you know, we tend to forget. We're carrying a presence with us wherever we go. And, you know, there could be somebody totally, you know, that you don't even know or whatever. And if you're aware of that presence operating in you, there could be an encounter with somebody that would change their lives and change yours as well. Amen. Let's just stand up and sing, O Come All Ye Faithful.